The U.S. Supreme Court's overturning of Roe v. Wade meant there was no nationwide guarantee to abortion rights, and that means women seeking elective abortion care and the doctors and nurses who perform them are subject to vastly different laws depending on which state they're in. But there's also a side effect, people who are experiencing medical emergencies related to pregnancy. Recently, a Wisconsin woman had to travel to Michigan to get treated for a miscarriage. Kate Spector-Baghdadi is the Associate Director of the Center for Bioethics and Social Sciences in Medicine at the University of Michigan. She tells WDET's Russ McNamara that the pressure to do the ethical thing should not be on doctors, but on legislators and judges who are creating and enforcing laws that put women and their clinicians at risk.
So as an attorney and an ethicist, you'll never hear me argue that there's an ethical requirement that a doctor should perform an abortion that would violate state law. Losing their license or going to jail is an immense price to pay, and only individual clinicians can weigh that choice for themselves. But in this scenario, I think we're also putting the moral burden on the wrong person. The people who I believe are behaving unethically here are the judges or the legislators who are putting clinicians in a position where they have to weigh the life of a pregnant person against their own livelihoods in the first place. I think that is the action that is immoral, and that is what this conversation should be focusing on.
How do hospitals respond to situations where a doctor says, hey, I'm going to treat this person regardless? Do hospitals have a specific obligation to back up the doctor in that instance, or do hospitals really have an obligation to the hospital and the care everybody else is getting and protect themselves from criminal and civil liability?
Yeah, that's an interesting and complicated question. I would imagine that different hospitals in different states and even different hospitals in the same state are going to make a lot of different kinds of choices here. One thing to note, though, is that unlike for a medical malpractice or some kind of civil claim, some of these abortion laws that prohibit abortion are criminal in nature, which means that the clinician can go to jail for performing an abortion. And so when we're talking about malpractice, liability, or civil claims, these are things that a hospital or insurance could theoretically cover for the clinician. But a hospital can't go to jail on behalf of a clinician. So that makes criminal laws a much different assessment. One tension that I'm particularly concerned about is between a hospital's legal EMTALA obligations and individual liabilities for clinicians. EMTALA is the Federal Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act and generally requires that hospital emergency rooms must stabilize a patient experiencing a medical emergency, like an ectopic pregnancy. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services recently released a guidance reminding hospitals of this legal obligation and clarifying that this stabilizing treatment can and should include abortions, which are medical emergencies. There are some state attorney generals, like in Texas, who have objected to the federal government's ability to require this if it conflicts with their state law. Therefore, a clinician might be put in a position where a hospital is pressuring them to perform an abortion because either they believe it's the right thing to do and or to avoid massive civil fines from CMS, but then this might open up the clinician to criminal liability at the state level. Again, the moral obligation to fix this really lies with judges and legislators, not the clinician who is being put in a completely untenable position or the pregnant patient experiencing the emergency.
Is that not part of the issue with some of the laws that we're seeing across the country where they are intentionally vague and may not necessarily, you know, include abortive procedures, but it kind of seems like they might be included in there? And then you have guidance from the federal government that says one thing, but then seemingly contradicts what state laws also say. I mean, it just seems like this is a complete amount of gray area that it's really hard to decipher.
So there are several abortion laws on the books in different states that are quite vague as to what actual actions they prohibit. As an example, there are some state laws that prohibit abortion unless to save the life of the mother or the pregnant person. And it then becomes a question, what is necessary to save the life of a pregnant patient? And that can be quite complex. There seem to be some obvious answers, like an ectopic pregnancy, which is not viable. It will never result in a live baby and can rupture at any given period and kill the mother, it seems clear that that performing a termination in the example of an ectopic pregnancy is necessary to save the life of the pregnant patient. However, there are all different kinds of circumstances which are much less clear. Like, for example, what if the pregnant patient has cancer and needs to start radiation treatment, and that radiation will kill the fetus or make the pregnancy less viable? Is that cancer treatment necessary to save the life of the mother? And on one hand, it's hard to clarify when writing laws and regulations exactly what everyone should do in every circumstance. But I agree that in this scenario, it seems true that some of these laws are intentionally vague in order to chill or dissuade behavior in spaces even where it might be legal. And that's part of the problem with the confusion between federal laws and the state laws, and sometimes even individual attorney generals or district attorneys that say they're going to enforce different levels of the law. How are any individual clinicians or pregnant patients supposed to keep up with what is legal and what is not when we can't even decide on the state or the federal level?
Does this changing landscape regarding reproductive rights have a specific precedent that you can think of? Like, are all of these questions kind of treading new ground in medicine, or is this constant gray area and hospital decisions being revisited from, you know, past years, I guess?
So there have definitely been circumstances before where hospitals are concerned for liability in ethically ambiguous and tenuous situations. And we don't have to look any further back than the beginning and the middle of the COVID pandemic to see hospitals struggling greatly with what their ethical obligations are towards providing very sick patients with ventilators, for example, if ventilators are in limited supply, or accepting transfers, major medical institutions accepting transfers of very sick COVID patients when other neighboring hospitals can't take care of them adequately. So this isn't entirely unprecedented in terms of hospitals and clinicians wrestling with these complex ethical issues. But something that I think is worth noting is that the practice of medicine generally is usually controlled at the state level in a very retrospective fashion, which means that if you cause a patient an injury, you might be held liable for that injury. But rarely are there sort of prospective rules or steps you must take in order to care for a patient. These new abortion laws are prospective, which means that even if you do not cause harm to a patient, you can be held liable just for performing an action in the first place. And there are other examples of cases where there are prospective regulations regarding the practice of medicine, including talking about gun safety in the pediatric context in Florida. But many of these prospective rules are focused on reproductive health, and specifically women's reproductive health, and limiting and controlling the information that is given and received in that doctor-patient relationship, and limiting or controlling the access to different kinds of interventions to support that woman or pregnant patient.
That's about all I have. Is there an angle that I'm not seeing and that you think should be covered?
I guess the only other thing that if I was to reiterate one point, it would be that while a lot of the public conversation lately has focused on whether clinicians have a moral obligation to provide abortions, even if they are illegal, the moral focus here should be on judges and legislators that are placing clinicians and patients in that position to begin with. Pregnant patients should never have to risk their lives or bodily function to protect a pregnancy. Clinicians should never have to choose between whether to save someone's life or go to jail. This is an abysmal abdication of moral responsibility by legislators that are putting pregnant patients and their clinicians in this life or liberty position to begin with. One last thought that I'll leave you with, and this is not my work, this is the work of others, and I can send you some links. While many people talk about conscientious objection in medical care and are focusing on clinicians who do not want to perform certain kinds of interventions because it goes against their moral opinions, there are other clinicians and scholars that are focusing on a conscientious obligation to provide care in some circumstances. So my colleague here at the University of Michigan, Lisa Harris, has argued that her conscience actually obligates her to act affirmatively and provide abortions where they're necessary. So conscientious objection can really go both ways.